वीतराग भय क्रोध मन्मया मामुपाश्रितः बहवो ज्ञान तपसा पूता मद्भावमागत आगतः वीतराग भय क्रोधा मन्मया मामुपाश्रितः बहवो ज्ञान तपसा पूता मद्भावामगातः। मेनी बहवो वीत राग भय क्रोध हु वर डिवॉइड ऑफ राग इज द अटैचमेंट भय फियर क्रोध एंगर मन माया ड्वेलिंग ऑन मी माम टू मी उपाश्रित सरेंडर्ड ज्ञान तपसा द ऑस्टेरिटी ऑफ नॉलेज पूत प्यूरिफाइड मद्भावम आगतः टू मी ही बिकम्स वन विद मी। सो मैनी पीपल हु हैव गिवन अप दिस अटैचमेंट एंगर फियर एंड दे आर ड्वेलिंग ऑन मी दे हैव टेकन रिफ्यूज इन मी दोज पीपल हैव प्योरिफाइड दम with this austerity of knowledge, they become one with me. So, when we think ki it's so difficult to do, how to do it, we have so many things to do, then we choose to just remain like this and surrender to the fact that it's very difficult. How are we going to do this? I'm just happy the way it is. I'm just going to keep on doing what I'm doing. I cannot do this. But if we see what we do in everyday life, right from the time that we take birth, how much struggle we go through, right as an infant, crying, lying in the dirty diaper, crying for food. When we are growing up, the life is so tough, going to the school, completing all the homework. As adolescent, life in high school, all these competitive exams, my God. Then getting a job, then getting married, having kids. Teenage kids are a problem. We know that. Every parent complains about that. Then money, security. So we are running after that. And while we are earning that, while we are healthy, after 50, we start getting sick and start spending all that money on sickness. And then we die. So how much effort we put in that? If we can put even a fraction of that effort here, how easy our journey is going to be? In day-to-day life, it makes it very easy. Not very easy. It is. We can handle it with a better control over situations. For that moment, it may seem like, "Oops, what happened?" But we can quickly snap back and control ourselves. So all this idea of attachment. If there's a certain car or a house or an object, it's just sitting there. And if I start liking that, so then I have imposed that idea in my mind over that object that I want that because I like it. The object didn't do anything. I self-imposed that idea on my own mind. That I like it, I want to have it. If I don't get it, I'm very angry, I'm upset. Why did I not get it? I want it. How come that other person has it? I don't have it, I want that. And if I get it, what if I lose it? What's going to happen? I need to keep it safe. So all these things are going on in my mind as thought modification. I am myself making it look attractive, look good. And at other time, that will not appear to be as good when I'm totally content. I like a particular food, I want to have it. Once I keep on eating it and I'm totally full, then I don't want it, right? I'm done with it. How much can I keep on eating? So if I'm going after something, I go after that thing because I think I don't have it. So I'm incomplete. I'm incomplete as long as I do not have that object. And once I know that this is just a thought modification, I'm relaxed. Because I'm complete. I don't want it. Because it's just an inert object. It's the consciousness, reflected consciousness in the subtle body, mind and intellect, then the sense organs, organs of action, and then the object. This is the chain. Once I know with this knowledge that I am the real self, consciousness, and all this after that is not me, this is the sadhana. The world is not me, the house, the building, the car, the objects, my place of work, the people, turmoils and relationship, that is not the world. The world is in my subtle body, in my ego. Bhranti janya tadatmya. Identification because of erroneous notion. That is where the so-called world is, in my ahamkara, in my subtle mind. And that is the real sadhana. I know that I am not that tree. That much I know. That much vivek, that much discrimination I have done. I know that. But then to know, I am also not this ahamkar. We need a more subtler discrimination. Like we see the jewelers, they are wearing that lamp and then with a small lens, they are cutting those diamonds in such precision, in such small shapes, they cannot make a mistake. This is the very precise discrimination we have to do. And that is where we need to dwell on. And that is the real practice. So that individual who does this dwells on me, Manmaya, through different Mahavakyas, the identity revealing statements, great sentences. Like that thou art, tat tvam asi, I am that. By dwelling on that, who knows that he is not this ahamkara, he who takes refuge in me, offers himself to me, surrenders to me, will be free from this circle, this cycle of rebirth. Refuge in the Lord. Shri Krishna Sharanam Mama. 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 श्री कृष्ण शरणं मम, 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 श्री कृष्ण शरणं मम। कृष्णस्तु भगवान स्वयं, द लॉर्ड इज भगवान, कृष्ण इज द लॉर्ड हिमसेल्फ। सो द वन हु रियलाइजेस दिस गिव्स अप द अहंकार, he will identify with me. Then Arjuna is going to say, then Bhagwan, you are being partial. You are saying that those who do this will come to you and they will be identifying with you. What about the rest? The Lord is going to say, I will tell you that in Shloka number 11. See, this yuga, and you talked about the dharma. There's a story in Bhagavatam, Parikshit. The whole Bhagavatam is based on the dialogue between the king Parikshit to Shukdevji when he was cursed that he was going to die in 7 days. And then the Bhagavatam happened when Shukdevji narrated the story, the Bhagavatam, to Parikshit. So Parikshit was again the grandson of Arjuna. He was the last person to serve, because he was in the womb of his mom. And Ashwatthama, he threw that Brahmastra on his mom, Uttara, I think. And then Bhagwan, Lord, he protected Parikshit. So the Lord, the King Parikshit, he was a very brave king himself, very, very righteous king, full of dharma, very brave, and he was the last in lineage of the Pandu Vansha. So he was, one day he was going on his chariot and was doing a yagna. So when he was going along, he saw on his way, he saw a cow. So he saw a cow, and the cow was trembling, and the cow had her eyes full of tears and coming down. And there was an ox, a male ox, and he had only one leg, and he was just barely able to stand as he was hobbling around. And then there was this guy, a very cruel looking guy, but he was all dressed up in like a royal attire, and he had a whip on his hand, and with a lot of cruelty, he was just whipping the ox. So that was going on, and the cow was trembling. And so the Lord Parikshit, the King Parikshit, he sees that. So he says, who are you? Who are you that in my land, in my kingdom, how dare you do this? This is my kingdom. This is the land where we see Lord in everybody. This is the land where we do the yagnas, we do so many good things. How dare you do that? And then he asks this to the male ox, what is going on? Why are you, what has happened to you? Why are you suffering like this? So the ox says King Parikshit, you're the great king, you're in the lineage of Pandu Vansha. And the reason I'm going through this is, some people say that it's because I don't see me in everybody. That's why, some people say that it's because of nature. Somebody is short-tempered, hot-tempered. Some people say, it's because of my previous karmas. Some people say it's because of my prarabdha, and that is what my destiny is. So different people say different things. He did not finger point it at anybody. Like, it's because of this, it's because of this, it's because of this, like we do, right? So he didn't say, he just mentioned like 5 or 6 different reasons. Then the King Parikshit, he realized that, yes, you are saying this, I realize your dharma. that male ox, that Rishabh, is Dharma himself. Because he's pointing out all the reasons why people think why this is happening to them. So he realized that. And the cow was the earth, the mother earth. And she was crying because Dharma was losing. And Dharma had four legs. The one with the compassion, daya. Then one is tapa, austerity. And then pavitrata, purity. And then the fourth leg is the truth. So all the legs were gone, only the leg of truth was left. So like in, you know, his when Bhagwan Krishna left, Dwapar Yug ended and then the Kali Yug started. So in Kali Yug, we are just holding on to a little bit of truthfulness which is left. So then the story goes that he attached the four, and then he, you know, came after that guy who was whipping the ox, that he represented the Kali Yug. The Kali Yuga was, you know, settling in, you know, the way we are, you know, lies, you know, arrogance, you know, robbery, deceit, cheating, cunningness, cleverness. These things were coming in towards the end of Parikshit's kingdom. So, and that was the symbolic from the Kali Yuga. So he was doing that. So then he gets angry, then he picks up his, the bow and arrow, and he says, I'm going to kill you. Then the Kali Yuga is a smart guy, you know, he's okay. He surrenders to Parikshit, you know, oh, please don't kill me, you know, you are the king, you know, I'm going to come in your refuge, please protect me. So then he laughs, Parikshit laughs. He knows that, you know, how people are, things are changing and all. So he says, okay, well, since you are taking refuge in me, I'll let you go. Then Kali Yuga says, where am I going to go? I mean, when we think about this earth or India or so, whatever, it that day, even in fact, the whole earth, or the whole, all the other cosmos was called Bharatvarsha. It's described in Bhagavatam. So it's not like USA, America. The whole thing was Bharatvarsha. So he says, and he was controlling everything. Raja Parikshit was ruling the entire cosmos. He says, where am I going to go? There's no place for me to go. So then he says, okay, I'll give you like four places to go. You go where there's a lot of anger, violence. That's one place where you stay. Gambling. Drinking. Spirits. And then he said, no, I need one more place, you know. He said, okay, greed, gold. So these places, like five places, you know, sensuality, you know, violence, and gold, greed, all the you know, five places. So this is where places, the Kali Yuga lives. So the teaching is, you know, people who are following the Dharma, they need to stay away from this. And as is said, that Kali Yuga is 4,32,000. So as time goes by, it's going to get worse and worse. So we are just in the first quarter. It's going to get much and much worse. And then Bhagwan Kalki is going to come, and then he's going to do whatever has to be done. So whatever we see is just in the first quarter of the Kali Yuga. Much worse is going to come. And every day we see that. Because what happens in society, you know, when we say adharma, to do certain things, somebody speaks a lie, or somebody does makes a shortcut, or somebody does some action, then we as peers see, okay, well, he's done that and he got this. So maybe I could do that too. Right, and then we do that same thing, and then third person, fourth, it catches up. That activity catches up, that action catches up, the speech catches up. So then that's what it is, abhyutthanam adharmasya. That is the overall rise of the adharma. More and more people start doing that activity because then they think, okay, he is doing that, she is doing that, so I can also do that, and that becomes the norm. So adharma becomes the norm and dharma goes down. And then we think it's like somebody starts saying a lie. You say a lie like 100 times, it feels like a truth. the truth feels like the lie. It's like this. So more and more people start doing that. We accept that. Maybe that is the right way. So that is what he is meant, abhyuthanam adharma. So how do we know what is good and bad then? Then we come to the teaching, the great knowledge that was lost because of lack of eagerness on the part of the people to follow the right thing. And that's where, when it's not understood properly, then we think, this teacher is no good. This ashram is no good. I'm going to go somewhere else. So the problem is not in them. Problem is in my viveka, my discrimination. And then I go to that ashram, that lineage, whatever. And then whatever appeals to me as my nature, I'll latch on to that. Then I'll consider that right. And that's okay as long as there is an overall persistence on our part to follow that, and then ultimately we realize what is the ultimate good. So I hope some of my effort, this is not, I have no copyright on this. This is not me. All of this is the teaching, the grace of the Lord and our Gurudev and our Swamiji's and energies and all that I hear and study. So it's all that. There's nothing is my personal. So please don't mind. If I'm trying out myself. So if there's anything that I can answer, if there's any comment or question, I'll try my best to address that.
When you realize that you've not been following Dharma, proper Dharma, what is one's duty to make reparations? When you realize that you have not been following your Dharma, a proper Dharma, you meet one of the sadhus.
Yeah. No, this is the hard-hitting aspect when somebody realizes. Just to be able to realize that is a grace of the Lord. Otherwise, we don't even pause doing whatever we are doing. To realize my mistake, to realize I did this thing wrong, and this is not the right thing. This is what the Kathopanishad says. Shreyas over prayas. What is pleasing is not the right thing. We have to choose the right over what appears pleasing. That itself is the grace of the Lord showering upon ourselves. Because His grace is coming in that way. That we see that in this day, whatever we come across, people we see, people we meet, the thoughts that come in my mind, the interaction that I have, is because my intellect, my subtle body is gearing like that. If my subtle body is gearing like more activity, more sensual nature, whatever, I'm going to see, hear that thing more and more. I'm going to keep on getting attracted towards that more and more. But when this grace of the Lord is there, when I realize that this has happened, the Lord is Himself going to send a teacher who's going to show me the right path and the right knowledge and the teaching. It's going to happen automatically. By no accident you came towards this teaching. It had to have for a reason. And that's the grace of the Lord Himself. He took care of it. He's going to take care of all of us. So He's working. Lord, we say antaryami. Antar means inner. Yamanam means controlling. He's my inner controller. So He's not sitting somewhere differently. He is in my intellect. He's my true nature. He's the consciousness. So He's the one through Maya is controlling not only me but this whole world. So this, just this thought that comes in my mind, this purity. See, who's going to go after knowledge? Not everybody is going to go after knowledge. We have to have a certain quality, some preparation in ourselves, right? We talk about shama, dhamma, controlling of mind, controlling of senses, the cleanliness, the purity. These are some qualities that a spiritual seeker must have. If I have a certain business, I am making a lot of money, I have multi-million dollars in my bank account, great car, I'm sitting on the couch, one hand my wife is sitting here, my kids are playing, the TV is going on, bank balance is good, I'm enjoying life like crazy. At that time, the Lord comes, ask for a boon. Am I going to ask? My life is full. I mean, you see what I'm saying? It won't happen. My life is, to me, in my incomplete knowledge and in my ignorance, I'm enjoying all of this. So for that to happen, it itself is a grace of Lord. I hope it made some difference. And that's why, you know, when we say karma is this, but again, at the end of the day, everything is coming from the Lord Himself. I hope it made sense. Any other question or thing?
So I didn't quite get what you said about the, you said that if you get the, you know, if something feels good, you kind of, you know, it's not good. It's so how do you know it's the right thing? You know, you find something, this is pleasing to me, that, and I recognize that it's so, but so how do you know that it's good? If it's pleasing to me, and I say, well, that's right.
It's like being a diabetic. You know, I know sugar is bad for me, but I like it, right? But what tells me that sugar is not right for me? My intellect, right? That's where the intellect comes. That's where this purity of knowledge comes. Having gone through this, having the right intellect, that what is appearing is just a name, shape and form, but that is not the good, it's not going to do me any good, it's going to damage me more. Same knowledge in the intellect will take me towards the right. Like when it's extreme cold outside, I'm not going to stand there with bare body, and I have that much intellect. And that's where the preparation comes, to prepare myself to realize the difference between the right and the bad, the right and the wrong. In my intellect, if I've done that much preparation, then it comes to me that no, this is not the right thing. In day-to-day life, what we can think is, okay, well, if this thing I do, would it please the Lord? Is this the right thing that I should do this? Would this please Him? This is mentioned in the Kathopanishad again, right? Or what you, Shreyas over Prayas. Whatever we think, okay, well, let me do this. Is this going to please the Lord? Can I offer this to the Lord? Everything that I do, if I do that with the idea that this is my offering to the Lord, so if I do this, would it please the Lord as my offering? And the answer will come there. Like just an example, a lot of people, you know, say, okay, there's no problem having some, say, spirits, drink wine, stuff like that. Well, can I do that in the house of the Lord? I like doing that. Well, why don't I do that? So is that the right thing to do? But I like it. But is that right? Well, if I am considering all my actions and thoughts surrendered to the Lord, then I should be able to do this everywhere, at all the times. This is what the scripture mentions. If you can do that and it can be offered to the Lord, then yes, and the Lord himself will tell you. In simple day-to-day activity. And again, as we read more and more and prepare ourselves more and more, it becomes more and more clear. Like Friday evening, I have different ways to attend. Saturday evening, I have different options available. Why would I do or read a scripture or listen to a discourse or go to a teaching? Why would I do that? Why would I not go and attend a party or go watch a movie or something else? If that choice comes my way, that I like watching a movie versus taking the choice of listening to a discourse, what tells me that? Not everybody would make that choice. Everybody will make a different choice. So what differentiates between different people? That intellect. The right intellect. The purified intellect. With all the qualities of controlling the sense organs, controlling the mind, to be able to have some forbearance, not to get carried away. That is called a qualified seeker. That is why not everybody will be able to understand this. And that is why in the third shloka of this chapter, Bhagavan says that you are my sakha and bhakta, you are my friend and my devotee. That is why I am telling you this great secret. This great knowledge, which is a great secret, not everybody can understand this. Because they don't follow. So a lot of it will go above our head. That's why he didn't just go about teaching this in general. He told this knowledge when the time was right, at the time of the war, when Arjuna got confused. So when I get confused, when I have a dilemma, and when I seek a solution, with the right intellect. And Arjuna himself was a great warrior. He had studied the Vedas and the scriptures in the Gurukula. It wasn't that he had not studied, but he had studied, but the knowledge did not come as a wisdom. See, knowing this is one thing. I know this, I read this on the book, on the shloka, on this piece of paper, and I chant it, very good. And I know this, but internalizing this thing so it becomes my wisdom is different. So we need to be able to internalize this knowledge and not just leave it on the piece of paper and read a shloka and memorize it. What is that good? I may not be able to remember a whole lot. It doesn't matter to me. But there was a movie from Amitabh Bachchan, Baat Samajh Mein Aa Gayi. You know, Baat Samajh Mein Aana Chahiye. We need to understand and apply this, internalize this. I hope. Get close it, 12:30. Shanti Mantra will do. Om Purnamidam. Purnam Purnat Purnamavishyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om.